I completely didn't listen to what you said, so I didn't know. I didn't know what to go off of there.
Well, I listened and I agree.
Do you want me to answer again?
I did.
And you cut it around. You cut around it.
Yeah. Why are you not listening? What is the matter with you?
I had a text. I read the text.
Oh, you're such a bitch. I won't hold you down.
This is episode 8. This will be all about junior hockey in Canada, because that is where we are from and that is where we have the knowledge of to as much as we can. So we threw it out there that we were looking for some questions about junior hockey, and I think Jamie's got a couple for us. So how's it going today, fellas? Before we get into it, you guys got anything interesting to say?
Nothing super interesting today. It's another day and another day.
You are the most boring person I know. Albo, anything from you?
The only thing I see is there seems to be some sort of new gear company making gear on. I saw it on Instagram, but we won't get into it. But that's the only thing new I got in my world right now.
That's like a big thing you should probably get into.
I'm kind of interested, but if you
what is
don't
it?
Leave us hanging here. Like this
is it factory? Did you drive to factory, Matt?
I did actually. it starts with a V. I don't know. I can't find. It's gone. It's lost in the ether. But it starts with a V. Vuralberg or something?
Vuralberg.
Are you guys
sounds like good burger.
good burger.
Welcome to Good Burger.
You guys must know what I'm talking about. There's no way that I'm the first on the scene to this.
I have no idea.
I got no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
MVK, that Russian brand?
No. I know that one. I'm all up on the Russian brands, Jamie. Come on.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. If I find it, I'll toss it in. But
somebody sent us a link to what he's talking about when this drops. If we haven't found it yet,
yeah. I feel like
Alba's still gonna be searching.
Yeah, we haven't learned how to use the Google machine. So
I feel like Professor Farnsworth. It came to me in a dream, and then I forgot it in another dream.
Question to start the junior one. It's actually like kind of a comical question I received. It's. I'm a smaller goalie and I'm going in the junior. Should I change? Like, should I lie about my height on like my elite prospects or whatever, like my stat sheet?
Well, number one, I think elite prospects, if you want to change your height, needs proof. Because actually I think they've released something saying that they had so many people lying about their height that now you need to have a picture of you standing with, a tape measure or something like that. There needs to be proof, whether it's like a driver's license or something. So if you want to lie about your height, you can go ahead, but at the end of the day, you got to step on the ice. And if you're 5'8", you're 5'8". Like it's you get enlisted at 6'1" and stepping on the ice at 5'8". As goalie coaches, we can tell the difference between 6'1" and 5'8".
Is it big difference between 6'1" and 5'8" by like a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe a guy's 6'1", like I am, and he's telling everybody that he's
5'5". But I want to, on the record, you're 5'5".
You guys are nuts. I don't think you've ever seen me. I am pushing 6'2" right now.
Yeah. If you have player skates.
Oh my God! Then I'm Shaquille O'Neal then.
Shaq, nice to meet you.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you know what? The worst thing that could happen is you go to a team and they think you're taller than you are, and it just looks bad because
right off
the
bat,
you're a liar. You just lied to the GM, to the owner, the coach, your teammates, the goalie coach, to everybody.
Height's overrated. My favorite goalie is 5'9". I'm sticking to it.
But yeah, you need proof on elite prospects, so you can't lie about your height anymore. And that changed, I think, in the last 10 months. So maybe look into that before you try to say that you're 6'2" on elite prospects when you're really 5'10".
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good, pretty funny way to start us off. But
I don't know anything about this one, so
okay,
I'll have to just sit quietly and be eye candy. I swear to God, these pads don't exist anymore. it was a big joke.
Did you dream it?
It was a big joke.
Did you draw these pads on like you just drew pictures of pads, and now you're trying to peddle them as you design. These are now for sale. You're just going to pull up a piece of paper with a hand-drawn goalie pad on it.
No, it's like it's like one of those turkeys that your kids got screwed.
I'm not sure if everybody knows, but I was missing a finger, so that turkey would only have four fingers.
All right, I'll ask the question. I hope you cut this in and post based on this.
Oh, I'm definitely putting that in.
Okay.
What do you got, turkey boy?
So let's explain how junior – I guess we can definitely speak to Ontario because we're all from Ontario. The leagues do get a little bit – the waters get muddy when you go out to Quebec and the Maritimes and out west. So what are the levels of junior A hockey at this moment, 2020, in Ontario?
Well, we can talk about Ontario, but we can also talk about Canada. Like, I have a pretty good kind of grasp on across the country. So in Canada, Tier 2 Junior A, which is I'm assuming what we're going to talk about, because Major Junior is pretty easy for guys to kind of understand. There's three leagues in Major Junior. It's classified as the CHL. There's the WHL, the QMJHL, and then the OHL. You have to be drafted to play in that or sign a player standard agreement, whatever they want to call that. But in terms of Tier 2 Junior A, where you keep your NCAA eligibility, there is a league, it's called the CJHL, which spans over Canada. There's 10 leagues in that make up the CJHL. I would say not all leagues are equal, that's for sure. I say the top of the food chain would be out west in the BCHL, and then it kind of comes east. Alberta, I would rank number two, and then there's, you know, we can debate for hours over number three, four, and five, so.
Mm-hmm. So on the topic of junior A, lots of teams, but even more goalies. So not everybody that deserves a crack gets a crack. So this is one question that I got for you guys. Where do you see the line between chasing the letter, as in I want to play junior A and I don't care if I get, you know, six starts all year, but I got an offer at junior B, you know, on a decent team, and I can get 25 starts a year. But at the end of the year, I want to be able to say that I played junior A. So where is that line between I go up and I don't play a whole lot, or I stay down and I play a bunch?
That is hard for us to answer because it's so personal and so individualized. Depends on there's age, there's experience, there's what's the injury, what's the goals, how has this guy burned his eligibility? So for me to give a broad statement, I would say if you're younger, it's better to go play. If you're older and you just want, and you know you're not going to continue on, or you're going to try to take a crack at a D3 or like a D3 school, or maybe a smaller D1 school, then you should go junior A. But that's like a very tough question, I think, to answer. Yeah.
I'm thinking more for, like, you know, those 17, 18-year-old guys that are, you know, maybe played 2 years of midget, maybe 1 year of B. They're looking to make the jump up to A, and it's not quite there. I mean, they could make the leap, but there's not a whole lot of playing time guaranteed at the end of that road. But they got a healthy offer at B, so they're still eligible for everything. They still got, you know, a year or two left. My personal thought is to stay where you can play, and play a bunch, because, I mean, if you got the junior A offer, chances are you'd still be able to practice with the team. You'd be able to get called up with the team, and you never really know what can happen. So if we're looking at the start of the year, I'd rather put myself in a spot where I got 25 guaranteed starts versus 5 guaranteed starts and the chance to play a lot and to get to know my game a little better.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you on a couple of those points. And this is where things get fun for us, because we argue. Number one, there's no guarantee. I can't say I'm guaranteed 25 starts at the junior B level, because if my first three starts are trash, and that means I'm getting dealt or they're bringing somebody else in. I agree that it's 100% individual kind of
100%
situation, because here, and I've had this chat with Jamie quite a few times, if one of my guys gets an offer at junior A and they say, okay, you're coming in as number two, and it's a good situation where the team is good, they have a history of developing goalies to higher levels, they have a quality goalie coach, and we look at the guy who's number one and we say, do you think you can outplay this guy at the end of the year, or you can steal starts from this guy? And the goalie looks at it and honestly says, yes, I think I can. Then you go, because now you have something to chase for. But you also have, if you go in with the right attitude and be a good teammate and you work with the goalie coach, you're going to have an opportunity to get starts. But there's no guarantee. You can't say, I'm going to take the guaranteed junior B spot, because I've coached at the junior B level in Ontario, and we've had guys who've had that attitude where it's, this is my job, I'm the number one guy, I've been guaranteed 25 starts, and he's gotten outplayed by the number two guy, and we make a move and we deal those guys. It happens all the time. So the fact that you're like, I'm going to play here, get my guaranteed 25 starts, is a terrible attitude.
I like that you emphasize the attitude. It's all about the mindset, right?
It's a huge mindset, especially in junior. If you, and if you're not the number one guy and you come in as a number two or a 1B and you're not a good teammate and you have attitude and your work ethic isn't top, I'm not saying top half, I'm saying top, top, then you're disposable. Because that's the thing, is you are just, as a goalie, as harsh as this might sound, if you are not the number one goalie, you are disposable. And in junior hockey, people don't want to tell you this, but this is, I think, what the podcast is for, is to kind of teach guys, is there's a, and when you get into coaching, it's kind of a cool part of our game, but it's a part that we have to deal with as goalie coaches and with our clients and as goalies we have to deal with. But you are a number in some, in certain situations. And not only are you a number, you're also a dollar sign to some teams. So having a good attitude is going to keep you in a spot and is going to allow you to have the opportunity to steal minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I almost see the guys from the team that I work with anyway, I almost see the guys that come in as expecting to be the backup that have the most success, because they're the ones with the workhorse mentality. They're the ones coming in with the attitude of, if I don't prove myself and I don't play well, I'm not going to play. So I got to show everything that I can. And I tell both my goalies every year, nothing is guaranteed, because you don't have to answer to me. You have to answer to the GM and the coaching staff, and they're not goalies. They don't really know what's going on. So you could have, you know, like it's such a fine line between, okay, now you're starting, you string together two games that weren't great. Now, you know, sit on the bench and watch this guy play. So
yeah,
every goalie, and just like every player, like, you have to have the mentality of, I have every reason in the world to be the hardest worker on the team, period. Regardless of where you think you are in the lineup.
Like Jamie can talk about his kind of his experience in Pembroke when he played in the CCHL. And he was kind of brought in there as the number two guy. I don't know why you're laughing.
It's like insane.
But it was Groundhog's Day. And yeah, we joke about this because it was literally Groundhog's Day. They brought him in as the number two guy behind a guy who's a veteran. I don't know if they told you a number of starts that they were kind of looking to, but it was literally, Jamie just kept sending guys home. Jamie played so well that he became the number one guy. The coach, who's in the NHL right now, I won't say names unless Jamie wants to, kept trying to bring in number one guys to take Jamie's spot. He would bring in a new guy, Jamie would outplay him, that guy would leave. Bring in a new guy, that guy would leave, three or four times. And it was a joke, a running joke between me and him. It was just like, just, you know what, keep sending him home, man. And he did until the very end, and he got to raise an RBC Cup championship doing it. So I don't know if you want to kind of talk about that, Jamie, is your experience.
No, you summed it up, but then it goes back to what Abel said, which is, was it, if it's signing with a team that gives you a guarantee or signing with a team where you think there's an opportunity. I had an offer from Canada, I don't know, the Stallions at that time, for 15 games. Pembroke came out of the woodworks and said, we can't guarantee you anything, but we want you. You know what? And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the coach or something, but it just said, that's the place to go. And then it was, you were right. Basically, I played very well my first year at junior, and the coach wasn't, he had said to my face, he wasn't confident with a 17-year-old being a starter. So he was kept trying to get starters and starters, and I just stuck to my game, played my game. And in the end, we ended up getting an older guy, a 20-year-old who took my job in playoffs, but we won and we were in a first place position because of what I did all season. And I they knew that there was a strong backup just in case something happened. But yeah, that was it. Like, there's no guarantees. And it, like I said before, every situation is so individual, and you might think it's the right choice and it's the wrong choice. You might think it's the wrong choice and you're doomed. And next thing you know, a guy breaks his leg and you're thrown into the wolves. And if you succeed, next thing you know, you're a starter at whatever level, and you know, the future is yours.
I love the fact that you said you started talking about right and wrong choice, because I agree with you that there's no such thing as a right choice or a wrong choice, because it's just a choice. You make a decision to go to, say, team A or team B, and then you make it, and the way you perform decides whether it was the right or the wrong choice. You can pick the, you can go to team A, who has the best goalie coach, plays a structurally sound defensive game, fills the building, and has a tradition of winning. And if you go there and you play poorly, and then they end up trading you, you're going to say, oh, that was the wrong choice. No, the choice was right, but the way you performed made it the wrong situation. So it doesn't matter. It's a decision that you make, and then the way you perform and the way you handle yourself makes it the right choice or the wrong choice for you.
An additional question that was, you know, he said, like, it was from a kid who's playing at a lower level of midget double A. And he said, is it worth it for me to go play junior C as a 17 or 18 year old and try to earn my way up into junior A and go to college? Or is my career basically over if I play junior C?
And so what's the alternative? So you're playing, you've aged out of midget double A, and you don't want to play junior C because you're worried that the junior C reputation is going to tarnish your name moving forward. Your option for that year is to play men's league or juvenile, and then the next year try to play junior B. Obviously that's not going to work. That's what junior C is for. It's made for guys, young guys that want to move up and aren't quite ready yet, and it's made for old guys that are done trying and come back down to junior C. I mean, that's the reality of the league that junior C is. It's a very mixed bag. So you've got, it also teaches you a lot about how to deal with the emotions of the game, because you literally are on a team where half the guys are trying to make the next level as hard as they can, and the other half of guys that are just coasting. But at the end of the day, they're coasting, but they can still play. They still shoot hard. They still skate well. They still know the game. They're still good teammates. So the situation that guy is in, your goal is to make junior C at this point.
Yeah, the only thing I have to add is that it's a mindset. If you go into junior C thinking, this is it, I'm in junior C, I'm done, I'm never crawling my way out of this, you won't. But if you go into junior C with a positive attitude and be like, look, I'm here for a reason, because I'm not where I need to be in my game, and I'm going to improve and I'm going to get better, and you continue with that attitude and you do the things to help you grow and get better, you might earn your way to junior B. And then next thing you know, you're feeling good. Keep that attitude. You're in junior A. You're 20 years old. You get a scholarship. Who knows? So it's not impossible. I just think if you have a negative mindset going into it, you're going to have a bad time. You're going to have a negative experience.
What you're doing there is you're, and Derek knows all about this, you're peppering in the excuses before the events have unfolded. Oh, well, I don't want to play junior C because then that's going to be the reason that I can't play junior B, because I play junior C. You're just setting yourself up to, you know, have pre-cued excuses locked and loaded, where that's not the mindset that you want.
I like the peppered in part.
Yeah, right. You're peppering.
Salt bay.
Yeah. That was a good question. What else we got, James?
So I did another question from the goalie coach's snap, and it was, I'm from Ontario. Should I play in one of the quote-unquote lower level junior A leagues? I'm assuming he means like the Noge or the Superior League. Or should I try and go play in a strong junior B league like the Greater Ontario Junior Hockey League or the Goge?
I think the Goge is a very strong league. A lot of times they do some polls in terms of college commitments and quality of the league. And the Greater Ontario Junior Hockey League, which is classified as a junior B league, often gets ranked higher than the junior A league in Ontario. There's a couple of reasons why. So my answer would be, if you can play in the Greater Ontario Junior Hockey League, it's a good league. It's a very good league. It's a very good league for getting, especially getting into U sport or moving into Junior A. And there's a few reasons why. Because it's classified as a Junior B league, in the off season, if you move up to Junior A, it becomes considered a category up. So it becomes a book value. So when we talk about kind of, and we have to understand that junior hockey is a business. So if you're looking to play Junior A and you're say 19 years old and you played a year in the Goj, a Junior A team can automatically sign you because it's considered a step up for a book value. It's not considered a negotiated release. So it gives you a little bit of flexibility in terms of picking where you want to go without having your team be able to kind of hold you for ransom, which happens. The Goj is such a strong league because they have a lot of ex-major junior players playing it. So it really brings up the caliber of the play. If you're a 16, 17-year-old kid, it might not be the best league for you to play because a lot of those teams, especially the top-end teams, will have a lot of 20-year-olds because there is a cap on 20-year-olds, but it most teams that are winning will be at that cap and they're going to ride those 20-year-olds. So if you're a goalie, it's a very good league to play in because you're going to be playing against a lot of guys that played major junior hockey.
So my opinion of the situation is the Goj is a very good league. And if you have the ability to play consistently, be a starter or be a 1A, 1B in the Goj, you have the ability and the skill set to play at some higher level junior A, whether that's the CC, the OJ, or somewhere out west. So if you have the ability to play the Goj, you definitely could play there for a year and move up to a higher level junior A. I did it. We have multiple Bouges goalies that have done it. And another thing is that you look at NHL draft picks, the Goj has more NHL draft picks than the Noj or the SI, even though those leagues are junior A, the Goj still consistently has more NHL draft picks.
So I think if you have an opportunity to play in the Greater Ontario Junior Hockey League, I don't think you should look at the classification of Junior B and be deterred away from playing that league, especially if you get on some of the good teams. There's a lot of teams that have winning traditions and have traditions of developing guys to higher levels, including NCAA Division III. So definitely do your research because like in every league, there's programs that you want to be involved in and programs that are really going to help develop your game. And then there's other programs that, you know, they're in the league, but maybe don't have that tradition of winning or promoting players to higher levels. So just do your research.
Yeah. For me, you guys are both nailing it. There's a certain amount of due diligence from your end as you got to know where you're going. You can't just be lured by a phone call or an email and say, oh, I got this, you know, team in El Paso that wants me. I'm going to go there. You know,
the Rhinos.
Or the killer bees or something like that. And it's gotta be a situation where you know what you're getting into, you know, the staff, right? And it's gotta be, you also got to answer the question, what are my opportunities locally? Am I going to, there's a team that's maybe, you know, 40 minutes from my house that, you know, I could get a really good opportunity from, or there's a team 2 hours I could go billet with, or am I going to go all the way over here to Maine or, you know, wherever you're being. But there is, having said that, there is something to say about being an exotic player and being a Canadian playing in America. You're automatically getting looks for that. You may not believe it, but it's true.
Okay. I can't get off the word exotic player.
It's true. Okay.
Oh,
we had a Russian player on our team this year. We had an American goalkeeper that we brought in at the back half of the season. And the other coaches, anytime we would shoot the breeze, they would always say, what's going on with that kid from Russia? You guys got a kid from Russia? Or you got an American goalie? We're going to take a look at that American goalie. Just the fact that you are not local automatically makes you stand out. And that is a fact.
Were they any good?
Joe Exotic.
On my mind, I
was waiting just for Alan to stop so you'd say that.
It is wild. Like,
I don't care how exotic. They're from the Dominican Republic. Can the kid play?
The Russian was good, and he was probably our best like natural goal scorer. He definitely led the team in goals, not points, but goals. And the American goalie was good. He just really didn't work out, to be honest. He came with a little bit of a nagging injury. He couldn't really get his feet under him. Our younger goalie, who we were looking to take some pressure off, just kept playing well. So we didn't really have a reason to give the American guy much minutes, because when he did play, he was clearly injured and wasn't playing that well. So we just rolled with the younger Canadian guy, local guy.
Jamie, you're on the goalie coach's Snapchat today.
Yeah, as we're recording this, I am currently taking over the goalie coach's Snapchat because my company, Victoria Nutrition, has launched a free 14-day whole foods challenge for anybody, but it's hosted through the goalie coach's website. And basically what that is it's trying to encourage healthy eating for the next 14 days because we're all in paradise, and it's super easy just to grab a sleeve of Oreos and a box of Captain Crunch. Where instead, you know, it's when you come out of quarantine and you got to get rid of the gym and get on the ice, it's going to be tough. So the 14-day challenge is basically encouraging healthy eating through whole foods. There's some prizes and everything. There's a lot of interactions you're doing with a lot of other goalies. It's just a great thing. For more information, you can go to Victorum Nutrition Instagram, Goalie Coach's website, or Goalie Coach's Instagram, and they'll tell you everything you need to know.
Is this a sponsored episode? Did Victorum Nutrition send us some money for that 30-second plug?
Honestly, yeah. No free ads, but this is definitely a free ad.
I do have a question, though, about what you're talking about here. I could pepper in my own answer. That would probably be somewhere near accurate. But for those who don't know, what are whole foods like? What does that mean?
Yeah, it's actually a good question. So we're not talking about the grocery store Whole Foods. Whole Foods is basically any food that is either unprocessed or as least processed as possible. So as close to you get it in nature. So something like a granola bar, which might seem healthy on the surface, isn't technically a whole food, where if you have just oatmeal mixed with honey and you bake it, that itself is now a granola bar made from whole foods, whereas the one you buy in the store in the box, there's additives, processed sugar, that kind of thing. Basically whole food from nature, unprocessed.
So whole foods doesn't have to imply that it's raw or uncooked.
No. I'm a big believer in cooking your food. The raw food diet itself is not one that makes a whole lot of sense, but yeah, you can cook it as long as the food, you know, basically anything you find in the produce section and the meat section. But if you sign up for the challenge, you get a food list, tells you everything you need to know, Alba.
Nice.
So what about this is going to drop a couple of days after we record it. So for those guys that don't, do you have to start on a certain day or can they sign up a week later? Like, how does this work?
No, sign up should be live for the next 2 weeks. We're recording this, today is the 6th. So 2 weeks from the 6th, it should be live. But even from here on out, if anyone's interested, so say you're listening to this 2023 and you really are interested in just eating healthy, shoot me a message on either victoriumnutrition.com or victoriumnutrition Instagram, and I will send you the challenge free of charge whenever. It's no big deal. It's super easy. And I just want people eating healthier and just living better, performing better. But pretty good episode. Good episode. Good information. We'll have to do a part two on Junior Hockey Canada because there's a lot of things we didn't get into, like billets, the card situation, trading, cross-border stuff. But
yeah, good episode. We've got to talk about the dynamic between the goalie and the goalie coach, because a lot of times a player's first interaction with a staff goalie coach or a team goalie coach is when they make the jump to junior. And it can be a little bit of a delicate dance, if you will, of how to navigate that relationship, because there's moving parts, right?
What is going on right now? Delicate dance and exoticness. Like, are you in Mexico right now? What is
that picture raised in the pool?
I don't know what you just said.
The picture of Alice KO'd in the pool.
Oh my god, we gotta put that up right here. With a cup of coffee in the pool.
How about the other one where you're passed out in the pool?
That one, yeah.
Oh, that video, yeah. Okay, quietly, I almost died, and everyone's laughing at me.
But you didn't die.
About to drown in the pool.
Okay. We're going to end it right here. Let's thank our sponsors, Victorum Nutrition, for keeping this episode afloat. All right. We'll see everyone in the next episode. I won't hold you down.